Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
I hope that this is a snowy day or an icy day that we've chosen not to bring everyone into the facility, but we wanted to make sure we still celebrated the Lord together as a church family. So let me just share with you kind of my hopes for you today. As you are with your family, hopefully, if you have a fireplace, hopefully you've got it lit and you guys have already had some breakfast and some coffee or tea, whatever you drink, for your morning, and that you've had some family time. And now you're focused in on what the Lord is wanting to say just for you and your family. I am excited that you've joined us. First of all, welcome to St. Charles River Church. Yes, I am here sending this out to you and wanting to make sure that you have someone to study with this morning, someone teaching and leading us in a time of study, and wherever you're at. Now, just so you know, not all of our watchers, our viewers, are in the St. Louis metro area, so you may not get the weather that we're getting, but we're celebrating, a lot of us, in our homes today. And so welcome to St. Charles River Church, also those of you who are not in the metro area and you're joining us on our broadcast. We're excited that you've joined us. But today, for SCRC family that are immediately in the area, you relax, get your coffee, get ready, because we're going to get into God's Word in just a second here and start bringing to you what we believe we've heard from the Lord on this snowy, wintry, icy day that ought not to be messed with. Don't be tempted, by the way, to go out and shovel the driveway. Not right now, anyway. Wait for a little bit if you haven't already done it. Just get ready to be in the presence of the Lord. Hopefully, you've worshiped with us. Hopefully, you've taken the time to talk with each other about what God is wanting to do in your family today, things that you could just really have a great conversation in your home today. And that's what I want to talk with you about. But let's open in prayer. Let's go ahead and just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of coming together as a church family through a remote broadcast, God, that allows us to be together in some way, celebrating you and loving you and worshiping you through this broadcast. Thank you for the families of SCRC. Thank you for the extended family that are in remote locations, different places, perhaps even around the world, that are watching the broadcast. We ask your blessing upon them today. Wherever they are, let the Spirit of the living God rest upon the homes of all of our viewers, and let the Spirit of the living God bring knowledge and revelation today of who you are to our SCRC family, both close and away, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me just ask you to turn in your Bibles to, if you've got your Bibles there in your home, hopefully you do, have your Bibles either on your phone or there close by on your tables, turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 108. And I just want to talk about worshiping God through all of our lives, through everything that we do, in all things that we do. The Bible says to acknowledge Him and to make known who He is through all of our actions, through all of our words. So I want to read to you from Psalms chapter 108. I want to start at verse 1 in the NIV. And the first verse says, just simply a song. It's a song of David that he is writing here. It's David that actually wrote the Psalms. And he starts out with, "My heart, O God, is steadfast." And he stops and he just, that's the opening statement. Father, Lord God, my heart is steadfast on you. And my heart is completely today focused on you. And that's what I'm hoping that you'll do right there in your home. Just during this time of this broadcast, it won't be that long, but during this broadcast, that we will launch our day steadfastly with our minds upon God. Lord God, today, create in us a heart that we are steadfast just like David was as he began to write this psalm, that he was steadfast. His heart is not wavering right or left, but steadfast, focused on you. He goes on to say, I will sing and make music with my soul. I've actually had people tell me down through the years in church, I can't sing. I cannot sing a lick. I've heard that all my life, and I've certainly heard it most of my ministry years, 26 years plus. I've heard that phrase, or that statement, I can't sing. I can't sing. And by the way, there are also people who can't clap to the right beat either. There are people that just clap to their own beat, their own rhythm. It's in their head, and it's not what many musical people would say is a right beat. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter, because whatever you sing to the Lord, whatever that is, and I think it's Psalm 96 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Today, God wants to place a new song in your heart. Please, really, today, sing to the Lord a new song, not the same old, same old, same old, but rather sing to the Lord a new song, something that's fresh. In fact, God's word also says that he places a new song in our heart. God is actually the one, when we're open to it, he says he will place a new song in our heart. So like David, today let's create in our own heart a new song for the Lord. I'm going to go on to the next verse, verse 2. He says, awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. In other words, all the music instruments in my soul, all the music instruments in my spirit, everything that is within me, awaken. And begin to praise God, in fact, to the point that in my spirit I could wake up the day and bring on the dawn. It's just a powerful revelation of the passion of the worship that David was talking about. I am so passionate, I am so aware of who God is, and I'm so steadfastly focused on who he is, that the music in my spirit, I would believe it could awaken the day and raise the dawn of the new day. Next verse says in verse 3, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. And I'm going to stop there just for a second. Never has there been a time, in fact, when David wrote this, they could only imagine what that statement perhaps might mean. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. Because in that day, they were only aware of what transportation, whether it was by horse or by camel or whatever method, or by chariot, which usually is drawn by a horse, they would wait for delivery of messages from nation among nations. If there was a declaration of war, it would come, if there was one, it would come via a rider, and it would take days and sometimes weeks for information. The information highway back then was really slow compared to what we're living today. But today, literally, you can turn on your computer or your smartphone and you can be in touch with Israel. You can be in touch with church services that are in Israel today. Today you can turn on your cell phone and you can literally tune into services in Sydney, Australia, in Tokyo, Japan. You can tune into services around the world today. And what David wrote as a prophetic word, we have seen actually come to pass in most of our lifetimes, where you today can sing to the Lord among the nations. And what David is declaring is, all the nations will worship you, and I will not be left out. That's what he's declaring. I will praise you, O God. I will sing to you, O God, among the nations, but I will not be left out. Today, I know people that come to church on Sunday mornings, and they have actually been on TV most of the morning or been online listening to other teachers, and they'll even go that night. When they get home, they'll go online and listen to other teachers and worship. I mean, oh my goodness, who doesn't love to listen to great worship videos online? Who doesn't love that? It's just one of those around the world. We now actually can hear the choruses that are being sung around the world together, all crying out of who he is, the creator of the universe. He said, I will sing of you among the peoples. And what he's talking about there, now he brings it to a local. I will sing of you. Everything in my spirit will be like a song coming out of my soul about you. It's of you. It's born of you. And it will come out then, and it will glorify you among all people that I run into today. Whether I'm coming or going or doing business transactions, all that I do today will honor you and will praise you among the peoples that I'm in contact with. Verse 4 goes on to say, for great is your love. Now, I'll stop there just for a second, because I want to finish this, obviously, a couple more verses. But it says, David wrote, for great is your love. Great is your love. And you know, I guess I'm going to just be real transparent with you. When I was a young man, I really could not that I can today, but I couldn't even begin to fathom the type of love that God would introduce to me as a human being. Now, I knew that someday I would fall in love. I felt that I would. I thought I would find that one girl, and I did early in life. I found that one girl that captured my heart, and she's owned my heart for, it'll be 40 years this May. And so somewhere in there, I knew that love would be, but I knew I loved my brothers. I knew I loved my sister. I knew I loved my parents. But this is a revelation I have never had. For those of you that are grandmothers, let me just say something. I have now seen the love of God. And I finally get that there's a level of love that takes you to stupid. Now, yes, I said stupid in church. Yes, there is a level of love that just absolutely pulls from you. You've heard me speak of it in the past. Those of you who attend SCRC, you've heard me speak of it. There's a level of love I never knew before I held my grandson. I'm telling you, I lost my mind when I held that little man, Kason, the very first time. And then they put Sienna, a couple years later, in our arms. And I want you to know, my wife lost all sanity at that point. I mean to tell you, I knew I was the love that was number one. Now, don't get all doctrinally wrinkled about that, okay? I mean, if she loves God with all of her heart, she's going to love me with all of her heart. So anyway, but I watched, all of a sudden, I went from that love at the top of the chain, and I fell from the heavens like a star. I mean, all of a sudden, there's this couple of grandbabies that I knew. Listen, when they come over to my house, they sleep with Grammy in Grammy's bed. Not Grandma and Grandpa's bed. They sleep in Grammy's bed. I want you to know something. It's Grammy's car. It's Grammy's house. It's Grammy's bed. Now, I know if you get tired of me talking about my grandkids, I'm sorry. It's a stupid level. It is a stupid level of love that I have never known before. But I want you to know if once you get there, you talk to a grandparent and they will tell you it is something they could never have imagined. They own your heart. They own your wallet. They own everything that is you. And they just pull out of you, and sometimes a lot more cash than what I got. But they'll keep pulling because you love them so much. So much that, well, who does that sound like? For God so loved the world. It doesn't make human sense. For God so loved the world that wretchedly despised him, that he would give heaven's best to save you and me, earth's worst. Get that? It doesn't make human sense. Nothing about that kind of love, that kind of love, that agape love, that agape love, that God unconditional love. There's something about that that David writes for great. You know the word great? He didn't say he's good. This is an emphasis on for great. And not a Tony Tiger, you know, Tony the Tiger, great. That's not what he's talking about. This is a real, I mean, heavenly, eternal kind of love that has no ends. How do I know that? Because David writes, for great is your love higher than the heavens. And what's higher than the heavens? The universe. He's actually comparing God's love to the endless universe that knows no end that man can ever find. There is no end to God's love. That's what it says. Higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Now, I know there's a great song of worship about that, and it really is true. Because David wrote, your faithfulness, oh my goodness, God is so faithful. I have seen God's faithfulness, and all I've seen is what would be considered minuscule in my one small life. But God sees me as all important to the point that he sends his one and only begotten son so that if I would choose to believe in him, I would not perish, but that I would have eternal life. That's an eternal love that David is writing about. And I hope, I pray that you've taught that to your children if you've already raised them. I hope and I pray you're teaching that to your grandchildren. Now, if you're raising your children right now, or are you yet to have children? Fall in love with the God whose love is higher than the heavens. Fall in love with the God whose faithfulness to you, to your family's family, to your children's children. Fall in love with the God whose faithfulness reaches to the skies. Because I promise you, and more than that, God promises you eternal benefits when we fall in love with the Creator who is madly, let me just tell you, madly in love with you. He is madly in love with you. He is madly trustworthy. He is madly faithful to you. On your worst day, he loves you. He loves you. On your worst day, God adores you. And by the way, on your best day, that's when the blood of Jesus Christ, the best day is when the blood of Jesus Christ covered all of your sin. And on that day, the Bible says, when even one comes to know him, all of the angels rejoice. There's a party that goes on in heaven. The Bible says when even one comes to know him. The last verse I'm going to read to you this morning is this. David wrote, be exalted. Be exalted. I mean, we want to lift you up, O God. He says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth. And when you know, face value, when you hear, you read that phrase, let your glory be all over the earth, you think of it just kind of a cloud just covering over all of the earth. But can I tell you what God is really talking about? He's talking about people. His glory is his presence. God didn't send his son to save the earth. God sent his son to save you and to save me. And to save our families, and to save our friends, people that we're in relationship with. So when David writes, let your glory be all over the earth, what he's saying is let the testimony of your presence in the people's lives around the earth, let that glory, let the story be told that God is present from the uttermost parts of the earth. Let the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, which and the righteousness of God, which is his glory, let it be told that people are experiencing you. And I know that you know this. Probably most of you know this. The Bible teaches in the last days, he said, I will pour out my spirit among all flesh. And I believe that. When God's word says that, I happen to believe that. And I believe that is also what David is talking about, that he is going to pour out his glory over all of the earth by his spirit filling men and women, boys and girls, coming to know Jesus Christ, and the glory of the Lord will flow from their lives, from your lives, and from my life. This is a call from David to the church. Now, again, that was pre-church. That was pre-church. But this is a global call for all generations to come. From when David wrote it, from that generation to this generation, it was a global call to recognize God for who he is and to worship God for who he is. It's a global call to all of the people of God for us to worship together in spirit and in truth and to recognize him for who he is. And today, as I wrap this up, I hope that in your homes today on this wintry day that feels like the day you definitely don't want to go outside, I hope that today God will be glorified in your home, in all of your actions. Can I just, I'm just being real with you when I say this. If worshiping God in your home feels uncomfortable to you or awkward to you, you're not doing it enough. That's the truth. If it feels foreign to you, and this is, I'm not throwing guilt, I don't do guilt. If you know me well enough, you know I don't do guilt. But if worshiping God in our home I don't mean just you have to raise your hands and worship God with music. You can, by the way. I love doing that. I actually love doing that. But that's not what I'm talking about. Everything that we do honors God. If it is an honorable thing, a God-honoring thing, it's an act of worship before the Lord. That's what, check it out, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Really, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto Him. And then at the end of that, it actually says, this is your only reasonable act of worship. In other words, all that you do, if it honors God, it's an act of worship. But in your home, if actually worshiping God through a time like this where you actually have your Bibles out and you're reading. I know I'm old enough, or maybe I'm too old, but I still am a believer that it matters when children see their parents and their grandparents reading their Bibles. Or at least on their phones, that they can see that their grandparents or their parents or their older siblings are actually reading the Bible on their phone. I just believe that matters. I grew up listening to my father in a basement, or in the first floor. My bedroom was right above the living room on the second floor, and I could hear my father praying at between 4 and 5:30 every morning. And I knew my dad was reading the Word. My dad's Bible was so worn out by the time I got into my teenage years. My dad's Bible was worn out. My mom and dad loved God. And I got to hear them pray. I'm talking about around our house and not just over food. I actually got to hear. My dad prayed for me for healing many times. I can remember in first grade when I had rheumatic fever and I couldn't go to school through many months of first grade. I was in dreadful pain. I mean, it was wretched pain in the joints in my legs. And I literally was bedridden for months. And I can remember my dad bringing godly men and women in, and they would lay hands on me and they would pray for me. And there was one point where I knew God had healed me. Even the doctor said, Dr. Gerst up in North County, in the Baden Circle, Dr. Gerst said, I don't know what happened to this boy, but I know this. 3 weeks ago, he couldn't do what he's doing right now. And I knew that God had healed me. I watched a man of God, my dad, pray for me. I watched and I listened to my dad read God's word in our home. I watched and I listened to my dad pray until he wept for me and for my brothers and Dawn, my sister, and my mom. You see, if that kind of thing is vacant from your home, I believe your children will find a real struggle to adopt that. They've never seen it before. I believe it's time for us to start being in our home the spiritual leaders that God has created us to be. Now, that doesn't mean legalistically you set them down at every night at 6 o'clock and make them listen to a full 5 chapters of the Bible. I'm not talking about that. But at some point, if that is foreign to our home, now's the time to change. It's not a time to be guilty. Not a time to feel sad, I missed it. No. It's the time to stand up and exalt God. Join David in this scripture. We declare that we will exalt you, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth, but let it start right here in our home. And it's nothing, I'm going to close with this. There is nothing wrong with looking at your children and saying, you know what, we could have done this better all along. But we're going to do it right from now on. There's everything right with that. Everything right with that. You're modeling so much with that kind of a statement. You know, Mom and Dad, we didn't do this quite as often as what we should, but we're going to do it on a regular basis, whatever regular is for you. But I'm just wanting to share with you today. Today is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. It's a good day to start new habits in our home. And be a Deuteronomy 6 church. Go read it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Deuteronomy 6. It's about verse 6. Start reading there. And it's about talking about teaching our children the things of God regularly in our homes. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of coming into the homes of our viewers today, whether it's SCRC regular attenders or semi-regular attenders, never been here before, but they attend through the broadcast. Thank you for the privilege of going into their homes and allowing us to be a part of their day of worship with you. I ask you, Father, that you will bless them and keep them, and that you will make your face to shine upon them. Let the glory of the Lord be in every home today that's joined us on this broadcast. Let the glory of the Lord be all over the earth today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Right after this broadcast, you will see a slide. If you would like to partner with us, we believe in our partners. We believe in you. And we are really wholeheartedly trusting in you for partnership to carry on the works here at St. Charles River Church. It is absolutely imperative that we take the responsibility that God's given to us with our tithes and our offerings and our just generous giftings towards each other in the body of Christ. There's going to be a slide that you will see on how to give either online or how to send it in the mail. There's some options that are there, and they're really easy to take care of. We want to say thank you before you even give today in support of St. Charles River Church Ministries. God bless you. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you this coming week.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.